Please take your Bibles and turn with me in them, first to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6, we'll read verse 8. It's found on page 990 in the Pew Bibles, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. And after that, we'll turn to the book of Job, and it's from Job our text is taken. Very much, can almost be called a parallel text, is Micah 6, verse 8. People of God, hear now the very words of God. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And let us turn to the book of Job, beginning at Job 1, verse 1, page 528 in the Pew Bible. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Job 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Then let us turn to chapter 29. We'll read the entire chapter, but our focus, our text, will be verses 12 through 16. Job 29. And Job again took up his discourse and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were all around me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. When I went out to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and withdrew, and the aged rose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, it called me blessed. When the eye saw, it approved. Because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. The blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey from his teeth. Then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My roots spread out to the waters with the dew all night on my branches, my glory fresh with me, and my bow ever new in my hand. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my word dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. I smiled on them, and they had no confidence. And the light of my face they did not cast down. I chose their way and sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners." And our text takes us back to verses 12 through 16. Congregation, there are several passages in the Bible that are very succinct statements of how we are to live as God's people, as those whom God has made alive in Christ. The summary of the law, Matthew 22, Mark 12, we usually read that every week. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 6, that's another. We read Micah 6, verse 8, which is also a clear passage. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. We find that lived out in the life of Job by God's grace, as we find even in what we read from Job 29. Now we know from Job 1, verse 1, that Job was blameless, upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Job most likely lived around the time of Abraham. In God's providence, although Job was upright, the Lord permitted Satan to sorely try Job. He lost all that he had. He lost his children. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. He had some friends who came. They sat with him in silence for a number of days. But then they spoke, and in their speaking, they accused Job himself of being wicked. And Job answered their accusations. And in this part of the book of Job is Job's final presenting of his case. You can see the editors put there at the beginning of chapter 29, Job's summary defense. And as part of Job's summary defense, we have our text, which was, again, perhaps written down 500 years or so earlier than what we read in the book of Micah. But it's a wonderful treatment of that message. It's something universal. It's good for the time of Job and Abraham, good for the time of Micah, good for our time also of how we are to live. And so on this day, when we remember in our country the legalization of abortion back in 1973, we come to this passage to be reminded, to be encouraged, to be spurred on for how we are to live with regard to the lives of our fellow man, particularly those who are most vulnerable, helpless, particularly for those who are not yet born. As long as it's legal for mothers and doctors to kill babies of our land, it's good to hear this message. May God grant that abortion will no longer be legal across our entire country. Now, Micah, he gives three things that God requires of us, three things we find mirrored, exemplified in Job. Three things, by God's grace, we should strive to live according to yet today as those who are made alive in Christ, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. We'll look at these three, considering first walking with God, and we see that with Job in verse 14. Job said there, as recorded in verse 14, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Now first we should say, in all this, Job is not bragging, boasting. Job was not proclaiming how righteous I am in myself. We know from this book, chapter 1, verse 5, Job would offer sacrifices, even for his children. Job longed for a mediator between him and God, one to lay a hand on them both. Chapter 9, verse 33 tells us that. Job had a keen awareness of sin and sinfulness and of God's requirement of righteousness. He was not ignorant. He was not blind. Although Job lived long before the Messiah came, no doubt Job looked for a Savior, cast his hopes on and put his faith in that Savior to come. Now we know the Messiah has come. The Son of God has come, bringing, working pure and perfect righteousness, even to the point of offering himself as a sacrifice for sin, to pay for sin, reconciling sinners to the holy God, being that mediator Job longed for, to lay a hand on both. He did that with his suffering, his death on the cross. And we know that Christ is risen from the dead. We know then that we too, like Job had asked for, we will see our Redeemer, that he lives. We know his works avails for us, for all those who entrust themselves to Jesus. Now Job had true faith, just not as informed as ours is today. How do we know he had true faith? Well, look again, verse 14. He valued righteousness and justice. It seems from the passage we read very clear that Job was a leader in his village, his town, his area in which he lived. He was probably responsible to make decisions, judicial decisions, render judgments when someone would bring a complaint against someone else. Job says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Job did not promote evil, wickedness. Job did not favor the rich and powerful. Job did not show favoritism to the poor and outcast. He sought to do what was right. He had God's standard for right and wrong clearly before him. And he embraced it. He put it on, that righteousness. He willingly adopted God's standard of right and wrong as his own. He was not interested then in money or fame or pleasure or self. the fallen world around us does not seek after righteousness, not God's righteousness. It proclaims instead that you determine your own right and wrong. The world says that you, the individual, that's what matters. Your independency, your choice, your decisions, your definitions of who you are, that's what matters in our society. The ideas of truth and reality, real facts, disregarded. Many in our society say it's okay for an individual to pursue whatever form of lifestyle they desire. There's no objective standard of right and wrong. There is no righteousness. No exterior measure of good and evil. You must be true to yourself. That's the ethic of our time. Authenticity. Being real. Haven't we heard this? And more? But as Micah wrote, inspired by the Spirit of God, to walk humbly with your God. To put on righteousness. And it clothed me. That's to embrace a standard outside of ourselves. The same standard, righteousness, that flows from the character of God. There is a right. There is a wrong. And on this day, we state clearly, as we have for years and years, murder is wrong. Abortion is wrong. Murder does not become not murder by defining away someone else's humanity. Murder does not become okay or even a virtue, a choice to pursue by declaring that a baby within the womb of the mother is merely a product of conception or a mass of tissue. Denying the personhood of a human who is not yet born doesn't make it permissible to terminate that life. To put on righteousness. Parallel to that, Job wrote, "My justice was like a robe and a turban." Now, that doesn't mean that Job defined justice for himself. That's not what the "my" stands for, my justice. It means the justice which guided Job. The sense of weighing right and wrong in a particular case. This justice was, again, like righteousness, something Job embraced. And it was obvious to all around him, like wearing a turban, a robe. Job could not be bought. Not by campaign contributions, not by sexual favors, not by drugs or alcohol. Job could not be swayed by flattering words or even murderous threats. He knew, and all those around Job knew, what guided him: righteousness, justice. By God's grace, Job strived to do what was right for all. By God's grace, Job served God. He realized he was God's creation. God's servant in those public decisions, public judgments that he rendered. Job knew he would answer to God on the judgment day, as well as every day until then. By God's grace, Job walked humbly with God. Now, what Job was in part was fulfilled perfectly by Jesus. He lived a perfectly righteous life, walking with his heavenly Father in perfect harmony. He himself is God, seeking righteousness and justice so much that what did Jesus do? He laid down his own life to pay for sin, to satisfy God's justice, so that his people would be saved. And in the power of Christ's Spirit, so that we would walk humbly with God. That's what we are to do. How Job lived is how you and I, all people, ought to live. Whether we're elected officials or a medical professional or a licensed caregiver or an employer or a nurse practitioner or a boyfriend or a mother or a friend or a church member, God sets the standard for right and wrong, good and evil, and we are to put this on so that it clothes us, so it becomes obvious to all, again, like a robe, like a turban. There's no questioning. Now, that begins by confessing that we don't do it as we ought. That we have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Along with this confession, we entrust ourselves to God, seeking righteousness and forgiveness apart from ourselves, outside of ourselves in Christ, because of Christ's life, his sacrifice, his resurrection. For how can we truly put on righteousness if we think we're good enough in ourselves? If we reject the righteousness that Jesus has brought? Is Christianity practical? Does gospel preaching make a difference in everyday life, in your life? It does, as you hold this righteousness. And as by God's grace you put it on, as you see this justice that God has brought in Christ, put it on. Walk humbly with God. Is it any coincidence that as true Christianity has declined in our land, other vices have increased? It's not. That righteousness, that's the source of practical living, of all living. This continues by striving in the power of Christ's Spirit to live according to all God's law at all times. Not only those that pad our pocketbook, not only when it's convenient. To be doers of the law and not hearers, only deceiving ourselves, as James teaches us in chapter 1, verse 25. It fits with a life of constant repentance, confessing, turning to walk humbly with God. And that call goes out to all to repent and believe. Walk humbly with our God. This baseline, this walking humbly with our God, it then shows up in very tangible ways. We see that in the rest of our sermon, moving in our second point to doing justice, doing justice. Again, Micah 6, verse 8 says, He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. What does it look like to do justice? We find that in Job, verses 12 through 13. I delivered the poor who cried for help, the fatherless who had none to help him. The blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Doing justice. Now we know that people today use that word justice in a lot of different ways. We find part of the biblical idea of justice lived out here in the life of Job from these verses. It's treating people fairly as they deserve, even if they lack money or connections to benefit you. Job did not turn a deaf ear to the poor because they couldn't help him financially, because they couldn't buy his products. He didn't turn a deaf ear to the fatherless, the perishing, the widow. Now, from what we know of Bible times, if someone did not have money, the poor, if someone did not have family connections, the fatherless, the widow, they were unprotected. They were easy prey for unscrupulous persons. We read in Luke 18, regarding a widow. And she went again and again and again to an unrighteous judge. See, someone in that culture, and it seems Old Testament and New Testament, could take what he wanted if he had enough physical might, if he could buy physical might, if he could bribe an official. Then as often as now, might doesn't make right, but might makes reality. That's what happens when injustice reigns. It's not what is good and true and righteous that governs, that leads to a situation, but it's whatever the one with power, however that comes out, fame, money, strength, power, wants, that leads to a given situation. That's the way it is in this fallen world. It's not the way of Christianity. And men, you are given the message of our world that real men, you take what you want. No, real men are those who do justice, even when it hurts your self-interest. We are to deny self on behalf of what is right for others, especially men, to do justice, to put on righteousness. As Job brings out, that involves the poor, the fatherless, the widow. We must never forget that. Now, in our society, thankfully, there are not laws that go directly against the poor, the fatherless, the widow. In fact, many can publicize their situation and find relief. Now, perhaps some laws that are on the books might not be enforced or might require some bureaucratic wrangling to be practical, but they exist. However, in the books in our lands, we know there's a court decision, an infamous court decision that goes directly against part of one of the other groups mentioned here in Job. Job brings out there, the blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, him who was about to perish. Now that can be a fairly large category. In our context, it includes those who are not yet born but threatened with death by abortion. They are about to perish. In fact, in our country, every year, hundreds of thousands do perish by abortion. This isn't just some threat that's possible that might happen. It does happen. Hundreds of thousands of times in our country. It's likely that over 60 million children have perished from abortion since abortion was declared legal in our land back in 1973. And that doesn't even include the millions upon millions in other countries. Surely justice, doing justice, cries out against these deaths, these murders. Verse 12, verse 13, we chose them because they're parallel together. And there's parallelism within each verse. Verse 12, Job delivered the poor and the fatherless. Verse 13, then, him who was about to perish, the blessing of him came upon Job, and he caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. These parallels show us that why Job was blessed by the one who was about to perish was because he delivered them. Someone was threatening. A situation was menacing. It's so dire, this one was about to perish. That's part of what it means to do justice, to deliver one who is about to perish. But let's go a level deeper. Why? Men, why shouldn't you take what you want? After all, it's dog-eat-dog world out there, right? Who's looking out for you? Take what you want. Why not? Or in this context, why shouldn't we let the one who is about to perish, perish? Why should we care about the poor, the fatherless, the widow, and they're being oppressed, they're being threatened, injustice against them, bribes, and why should we care if someone else does what they want with the poor, the fatherless, the widow, with the one about to perish? It doesn't hurt you, does it? Because that's part of doing justice. Well, not that we personally are in the office of judge or official or physician. There are specific duties with specific offices. Verse 17, in fact, brings out part of what's required for an official, as well as other passages, verses we read here. But according to the office we have, neighbor, friend, citizen, and are holding accountable those who hold office and are seeking to help those who are about to perish. But again, why is justice concerned with them? Because they're human. We aren't talking about an ant or a spider or about a cat or a dog. We're talking about fellow human beings. They are human, and as such, they are made in the image of God. There's a specialness to human life at every stage, at every age, regardless of situation, poor, fatherless, widow, about to perish. Well, they might not come from the same social class or political party or economic class or race or nationality or religion or any other difference there might be. They are different than we are. That's part of why they're in that situation. But they are fellow image bearers. The poor, the fatherless, the widow, him who is about to perish. The baby in the womb is not subhuman or potential human. The baby in the womb is not even the same organism as the mother. The baby is not an organ of the mother or a cancerous growth or a fingernail. The baby is a unique human, having his or her unique genetic identity from the moment of conception. Not even the time when we can detect a heartbeat. The moment of conception, there's a real, true human being, human life made in the image of God. There's no question then about when human life begins. Science is clear. The moment of conception, there is a human being. Now it takes months for the baby to develop. It isn't until sometime in the early 20 weeks or so when the baby can live apart from the mother, given our current medical technology. But at the moment of conception is another human life. And that human life falls within justice. Is justice for some humans but not others? No, justice is for all. Justice is not only for those who can afford it or have a connection, can defend themselves. Justice is for all humans because each human is made in God's image. And as humans, we are to do justice, especially as Christians, to do justice. But there's something else we are to do, which we come to in our third point. We are to love kindness. Love kindness. So justice is one reason we should stand up and seek to protect babies in their mother's womb about to perish. But kindness comes in also, or as some translations put it, mercy. In Micah 6, verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness or mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Now, we've seen walking humbly. We've seen doing justice. We've seen that in Job's life. Now, loving kindness, loving mercy. From our text then, verses 15 and 16, Job says, I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. Job went above and beyond justice to the poor, fatherless widow, and perishing. He showed kindness to the blind, the lame, the needy, the stranger. Not justice, kindness, mercy. Now, we can imagine how this might have shown up. Job could take the blind, help them understand what was around them, acting as their eyes. Job could bring the lame to where the lame needed to go and bring what the lame needed to the lame, since the lame could not travel there themselves. A father, don't we fathers supply what our children need? Well, Job sought to do that to the needy, for one who could not afford his own necessities. And even if there was someone with whom Job was not related or friends with or did not know, he searched out the cause of him whom he did not know. He cared. He cared. Now we find that fulfilled perfectly in Jesus. God sent his Son to earth. Why? He didn't owe us anything good. Justice actually required that we perish in our sin. The gospel accounts, though, are filled with Jesus healing the blind, the lame, the sick, the demon-possessed. He multiplied loaves and fish. He sought us out. Why? Out of love, kindness, mercy. In fact, that word in Micah is chesed, covenant faithfulness. Jesus laid down his life to rescue his enemies. Why? Kindness, mercy, grace. We who are joined to Christ, filled with His Spirit, we are to follow in Christ's steps. In a world that pursues its own aims, where the eyes are often focused down on one's smartphone, we are called to look up, to look outward, to look beyond. In a world that says, look out for number one, we are called to care about others, to show kindness. And applying it to this day, you and I, we don't know the hundreds of thousands who are threatened and killed every year with abortion in our country. But we're called to care about them. Why? Won't they be a drain on our society? Won't they require us to inconvenience ourselves to help them? Again, think of those who often get abortions. Like the blind, the lame, the needy. Yes, we'll be inconvenienced. Yes, we'll have to help. But we don't serve the almighty dollar. We are to love kindness, as God told us through the prophet Micah, as Job demonstrates here, as Jesus showed toward us. And for the same reason we are to do justice is because these are human beings. And we rejoice that in our area there are those groups that seek to help those who are pregnant, who are raising children and need help. How wonderful to be a part of that. They are human. And human life is valuable. Whether we're related to one, friends with one, aware of someone or not. How easy it is, and the world promotes this, to consider the other a competitor, even an enemy. That we're in some battle with them. And so we can justify not being kind. We're told pre-born baby even. You listen to some ladies who perhaps have had an abortion and they write, it was draining me of strength, of happiness, threatened to drain me of career, time, effort, money, opportunity. that the mother could not be who she wanted to be because of that product of conception. That's how the world pits each other against one that ought never to be pitted against, a mother and her baby. That's the twistedness of sin, a sin that pits one human against another. We see it all around in politics. We hear it on television, radio. So much hatred, vitriol. But that pre-born baby is human, as every person born is human. As fellow humans made in the image of God, we are to care, we are to show kindness. Kindness to the baby, kindness to the mother. There are mothers and fathers for whom a baby is a lot. Ladies, if you find yourself pregnant and burdened, confused, worried, we'll help you. We'll come alongside you. We'll help you care for your baby and for you. Don't let fear, don't let worry lead you to abort that baby. And men, if you find you've gotten someone pregnant and you're burdened, you're confused, you're worried, we'll help you. We'll come alongside you. We'll help you care for your baby, the mother, you. Don't let fear, don't let worry lead you to pressure her to abort your baby. And if you've had an abortion, or maybe you've counseled someone, there's forgiveness even for that. And you carry a burden of guilt, of shame, but God forgives. For the sake of Jesus, confess that sin, turn from it, and ask God to forgive you. He will, He does. Ask God to change you so you value life, every life, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. He changes us. The congregation, be encouraged. The help you have been given by God's grace. But how can we continue? It's been almost 50 years. Perhaps this will be the year when that atrocious decision of Roe v. Wade is reversed. But even still, Job lived thousands of years ago. And while he may have had an impact on those around him, there's no trace of it today. The prophet Micah prophesied, yet again, injustice, lack of kindness. If you look only to man, it is hopeless. We live in a fallen world. Not only is there wickedness out there in the unbelieving world, but we carry it within ourselves, don't we? Having in ourselves a sinful nature. Again, we look at our own lives. We fall so far short. We disappoint. But thankfully, wonderfully, the focus of our religion is not us. It's God. The holy, the just, the merciful, the loving, the all-powerful God. He's the focus. It's this God who has sent His Son Jesus into our world to rescue sinners, to destroy the works of the devil, to bring righteousness and life. Believer, His Spirit lives within you. So you don't lose hope. Whether this year it falls or not, we don't lose hope. We don't give up. Press on. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And He uses each one of us in His plan and purpose. Seek to be used by Him. Strive to find those ways where you can do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God to rescue the perishing. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for seeking us out, for sending Your Son to draw us out of our sin and death. Thank You for giving us new life and giving us opportunity to help others. May we do that always, Lord. We not follow the temptations within and without to live our own lives, to indulge, to ignore, but to walk humbly with You, to do justice, to love kindness, And would you use us, Lord, in our land to rescue the perishing? Lord, we pray for your blessing, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.